Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building the engine of a jungler old school DNB track, a sub sign that's modern, tight, and punchy, but still has that vintage soul and movement. We're doing it in Ableton Live 12, mostly stock devices, and we're approaching it like an intermediate mix session. Clean low end, controlled dynamics, and character placed in the right layer so it translates on big systems and still speaks on small ones. Here's the big picture. We're going to build a two-layer bass system. Layer 1 is your SUB. This is mostly 35 to about 90 Hz. It's mono, phase stable, consistent, and it's the part that should feel like it's bolted to the floor. Layer 2 is your soul or harmonics layer. This lives mostly from about 90 to 300 Hz, and sometimes it whispers higher than that. This layer is where the bass becomes readable, where it gets grit, slight movement, and that older hardware vibe without destroying your headroom. And then we'll make the kick and sub behave like they're on the same team. Because in jungle, breaks are messy by nature, and that's beautiful, but your low end still has to be disciplined. Step 0, set the session up so you can actually make good decisions. Set your tempo to something DNB friendly, around 160 to 170. I like 165 for this vibe. On the master, put Ableton's spectrum at the very end. This is not your boss, it's just a flashlight. We're still mixing with our ears, but it's great for confirming what's happening down low. And adopt a headroom mindset. Aim for individual channels peaking somewhere around minus 12 to minus 6 dB while you're building. If you build the bass too hot from the start, you'll make saturation and compression choices that feel exciting, but are actually just you fighting clipping. Before we even mix the sub, do a quick calibration move that saves you from your room. Make a spare MIDI track, drop operator, set it to a sign, and play notes from around 40 to 90 Hz, like E1 up to A1. At your normal listening level, notice which notes feel louder or bloom more. That's your room telling you where it exaggerates. The goal isn't to fix your room right now. It's to stop believing it blindly. Also check at two volumes. Quiet volume. Can you still follow the bass line? That's your harmonics layer doing its job. Louder volume. Does the low end stay tight? Or does it start blooming? If it blooms, you're usually looking at too much energy in the 60 to 90 region or a release time that's too long somewhere, often in sidechain. Now we build the SUB instrument. Predate a MIDI track and name it Bass SUB. Drop operator. Oscillator is a sine wave. Turn off oscillators B, C, and D so it stays pure. Now set the amp envelope. Give it a tiny attack, like 2 milliseconds. That's just enough to avoid a click when notes start. Decay around 300 milliseconds is a reasonable starting point if you're doing more plucky rhythms, but adjust it to the groove. Sustain depends on the line. If you want held notes, keep sustain up. If you want stabs, pulse sustain down and use decay to shape the length. Release around 120 milliseconds is a solid starting point because it avoids that hard stop that can make sub feel disconnected from the drums. For tuning and note choice, old school jungle subs often feel great around F, F sharp, or G, but it depends on your track key. Keep most of your notes in the E1 to A1 range. That's where you get chest weight without pushing into that ultra-low zone that only a few systems reproduce cleanly. Now the SUB processing chain. This is where modern punch comes from. Control, not brute force. First device, EQ8. Put a high-pass filter at 24 dB per octave and set it around 20 to 25 Hz. This is not a tone-shaping cut, it's a safety cut. We're removing rumble and junk that steals headroom but doesn't add musical weight. Second, saturator. The trick here is microharmonics. You want the sub to read on speakers without turning it into fuzz. Set saturator to analog clip. Drive around 1.5 to 3 dB. Start at 2. Turn soft clip on. Then, and this is crucial, gain match the output. If you don't gain match, you'll always prefer the louder version and you won't know if it's actually better. When you solo the sub, you should barely hear distortion. In the full mix, you should feel like the note has a clearer outline. Third, glue compressor is optional, and this is a real intermediate decision. A clean sign that's consistently programmed often doesn't need compression. But if your notes are uneven or the sustain is jumping around, you can use glue gently. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto or about 3/10 of a second, ratio 2 to 1, and aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction at most. If it's doing more than that, you're probably solving the wrong problem. Fourth, utility, set width to 0%. Bass mono on. This is the club insurance device. Sub and stereo might sound wide in headphones, but it collapses unpredictably on systems and can actually sound smaller. At this point, you have a sub that's stable, centered, and mix ready. Now we build the soul layer. Create a second MIDI track named Bass Soul. Copy the same MIDI clip from the sub track so they play the same notes for now. Later you can diverge them, but start locked together so you can mix the system as one instrument. For sound source, you can stay an operator and get a classic tone. Try oscillator as sine or triangle. Then add oscillator B quietly, pitched up an octave or a 19th, just to create harmonic content. You can also add a tiny bit of FM from B into A for a growl edge. Keep it subtle. If it turns into a laser, pull back. Now the soul processing chain is where we put the vintage vibe and movement, because it's safer to get dirty in the mids than in the true subband. First, EQ 8. High pass this layer around 80 to 120 Hz, start around 100. This is how we stop the soul layer from fighting the sub in the low band. If it feels boxy, do gentle shaping around 200 to 400 Hz. And remember, breaks often have body around 200 to 300, so you may actually make the whole track hit harder by shaving a tiny bit of bass there instead of boosting drums. Second, add character with roar or saturator. In Live 12, roar is perfect for vintage bite without destroying the sub. Try tape or tube styles. Drive maybe 10 to 25%, tone slightly dark. You're aiming for warmth, air, and density, not fizzy top end. If you're using saturator instead, try warm tube mode with 3 to 6 dB of drive, soft clip on, and again, aim match. Third, movement with auto filter. Set it to a low pass, 12 dB slope. Put the cutoff somewhere like 250 to 800, depending on the sound. Then add a little LFO sync to the track, 1/8 or 1/4 notes. Keep the amount subtle. The goal is motion, like a leading instrument, not a big wobble unless you intentionally want that. Fourth, utility. Keep this layer mostly mono too. Maybe 0 to 30% width. If you widen it, you want that width to live above around 150 to 200 Hz, not in the low mids where it can smear. Now we get to the real punch, the kick and the sub relationship. On your kick channel, drop spectrum and find the kick fundamental. Look for the strongest low peak, often somewhere between 45 and 80 Hz. Then decide who owns the deepest band. This is a mindset shift that fixes a ton of low-end problems. If your kick is deep and boomy, let the kick own, say, 50 to 65 Hz, and tune your bass emphasis around it so they're not both trying to be king of the same frequency. If the kick is more clicky and mid-forward, let the sub own 45 to 55 strongly, and let the kick sit a bit higher. Now sidechain. Put Ableton's regular compressor on bass sub, not glue, for clean ducking. Turn on sidechain and choose the kick as the input. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack fast, like 0.3 to 2 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds, try 90 and then adjust until it bounces with your groove. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. Here's the key teacher note, the release time is the groove. Too fast and the bass gets flappy like it's wobbling under the kick. Too slow and you hear obvious pumping and you lose sustain. Set it while the full break is playing, not while soloed. And because we're in jungle, the kick pattern inside a break isn't always consistent enough to drive clean ducking. So if the low end feels messy, use the ghost sidechain trick. Make a MIDI track with a short click or a tiny operator blip. Program a simple pattern that represents where you want space for the kick, not necessarily what the break is doing. Then feed that track into the sidechain input and mute its output. Now you get predictable low-end gaps while keeping the break's chaotic charm intact. Next, phase and timing alignment, the hidden punch that people skip. Even a sine can feel weak if the sub's first cycle fights the kick's low wave. To check it, freeze and flatten a short moment or record a little hit to audio, then zoom in and compare the waveforms. If the sub is arriving late or the polarity relationship is weird, you can try a small track delay on the sub, like minus 5 to minus 20 milliseconds, or nudge the MIDI slightly. If you're layering kicks, align the kick layers first, then align the sub to the combined kick. That sequence matters. Now we glue the whole bass system, group bass sub and bass soul into a group called bass bus. On the bus, add EQ 8 for gentle shaping. If it's muddy, a small dip around 180 to 250 by 1 or 2 dB can clear space for the break's body and make the whole track feel faster. Add glue compressor lightly, 10 millisecond attack, auto release, ratio 2 to 1, and 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction max. This is glue, not squeeze. Then add a limiter as safety, ceiling at minus 1. Ideally, it barely touches anything. If it's working hard, go back and fix gain staging, saturation, or sidechain. Don't use the limiter to solve arrangement and balance problems. Now let's talk arrangement, because jungle bass isn't just a tone, it's a conversation with the drums. Try a 2-bar call and response. Bar 1. hold a strong root note, then do one pitch move near the end. Bar 2, shorter notes, with deliberate gaps where the kick and snare need to speak. One of the most classic moves is leaving a tiny gap right before a snare accent. Even a 16th note mute can make the break feel like it's leaning forward. In Ableton, use the groove pool. Grab an MPC or jungle-ish groove and apply it lightly to the bass MIDI, like 10 to 20%. You're not trying to make it sloppy, you're trying to make it talk to the break. Now a couple quick troubleshooting reminders, because these are the usual traps. Don't make the sub stereo. Wide low end equals phase issues and weak translation. Don't oversaturate below about 80 Hz. If you want more attitude, push the soul layer, not the SUB.